And these great commandments are read in all of our hearing. And Father, each one knows them and has heard them before, I'm sure. Lord, we would ask that you'd help us to see how these things apply to us here tonight, that we might not just hear them, but do them. We remember what is written, that you deceive yourself if you become a hearer of the word and not a doer. And we recognize, Father, this is a commandment. It's something that delights you and pleases you and is for our good. And we would pray, Lord, that you would just make it clear to us, practical things, the way we might proceed. Lord, help me, won't you? Help me to speak as I should. Correct those things that are mistakes. And Lord, put in place those things that are right. And Lord, give each one here a discerning ear and a wise ear to be able to weigh up clearly what's being said, that they should know what your Spirit is saying to them. And with confidence, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So help us with these things, we pray. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Honor your father and mother as the Lord your God commanded you, that your days may be long and that it may go well with you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. We looked at the Sabbath last time, and one of the things we noticed was that Moses didn't just use the very words that he had received when the commandments were given to him in Exodus chapter 20. I don't know if you remember from last time, that there is a difference between the commandment as you find it read in Exodus and the commandment as you see it written in Deuteronomy. And that emphasis, those emphases, are deliberate emphases, because Moses is not just stating the commandments, he's preaching them. He's preaching them to those people at that time and in that place. And this commandment too is slightly different from the way you'll find it in the book of Exodus. He makes some enlargements. He emphasizes certain things that perhaps you wouldn't have noticed in the original commandment. And there are two basic additions. And the first, he says, he adds the little phrase, as the Lord commanded you, which isn't there in Exodus chapter 20. He just stresses the point that this is not a new commandment. This is a commandment that's been with them for some time, and it was the Lord that gave it to them then, and that the Lord is still speaking to them about it now. So that's one thing. And the other thing that is different to the way you find it in Exodus is that in Exodus he says that your days may be long, speaking about the length of life. But here in Deuteronomy he adds, and that it may go well with you. So it's not just about having a long life, it's also having a long and a good life. You want to have a long and a good life. You don't want to have a long bad life. You want to have a long and a good life. And this commandment, as is picked up on by Paul, is the first commandment that actually has this sense of a promise about it. If you will honor your mother and father, if you'll do this, there's a sense in which your life will be affected, positively affected, by your obedience to this commandment. So this reference he makes to the fact that the Lord had commanded them before, and he's still speaking to them about it now. The importance of this is the fact that he is saying that just as God spoke to us in the beginning, earlier on, about the importance of paying respect to the former generations, the people who went before us, that now when you're about to enter into the land, that need to pay respect to the former generations, the people who have gone before you, will not disappear. I think sometimes you can get the idea that if I do these commandments, if I do it for long enough until I've obtained the thing that I want, which is basically the land, once I've got it, then I don't have to do it anymore. Once I've inherited, my responsibilities are fulfilled, and I can draw a line under it. If anything, he's saying it's not when you get into the land that your responsibility to honor your parents is going to be nullified. On the contrary, in a way, it's going to be amplified. It's going to be more important then, in some sense, than it even has been in the last 40 years wandering through the wilderness. When things are going well with you, when you're in the land, when you're prospering, you're going to have to take even more stringent care to honor your mother and father than perhaps you've had to do through the wilderness, in the straight places, in the hard places of the former generations. So the law, that these things, are not a means to an end. You know, some people get that idea, if I do this, if I'm good, then I'll get my sweeties, I'll get my rewards at the end. I think the point is, doing these things carries within them their own reward. Doing the right thing is its own reward. Doing good is not a means to an end, it's its own reward. And honoring your mother and father is the right thing to do. It's just the right thing to do. And it always will be the right thing to do. Because if they're looking at it as a way to sort of obtain salvation, once I've got into the land and I'm safe and secure, that would be a mistake of trying to understand what this is all about. This is about you living life as it's supposed to be lived. So the whole thing about enjoying your life, the quality of your life will be poorer and meaner and thinner and less meaningful and rich if you don't do this. If you don't do this. So you may have the land, but firstly, you may not have it for long. And secondly, you won't be able to enjoy it as you should. That's the point. You won't be able to enjoy it as you should. The length and the quality of your life depends on this. Now, Paul picks this up. Let's come to the New Testament. Let's not beat around the bush. Let's get to the New Testament. It's good to get to the New Testament. Paul picks it up. Ephesians. We're reading Ephesians at the moment. He picks it up in chapter 6 of Ephesians. And in chapter 6, in verse 1, he writes to children, to young people. One or two little heads popped up. To young people, to children, he says, obey your parents in the Lord. Obey your parents in the Lord, for it is right. Okay? It's the right thing to do. So if you're a young person and you want to please the Lord, you want to do the right thing, listen to your parents. Do what they're saying. Cooperate with your parents. And then he goes on to say, honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with the promise that it may go well with you and that you may live long in the land. In short, he's saying the commandments that have been written hundreds and hundreds of years before the New Testament, before Jesus came, these things still apply to us today as Christians. They're as important to us today. So before the land, they were important. In the land, they're important. And now in this time when we're past the land, as it were, it's still important. This is just the right thing. It's the right thing to do. So, okay, my first point. My first point, I hope everybody's heard it, and it's good and clear that Moses is preaching that honoring your mother and father is an enduring commandment, one that will last. It will always be true. It will always be true. So we, what do we teach people? We teach people to honor their mother and father too. We pass it on, don't we? Yes, it's still our responsibility to teach that too. And you youngsters, in the fullness of time, God willing, you've become parents yourself, you'll have to let them know as well. All right? That's the first thing. This isn't going away. This is a responsibility that is on us as Christians. So what does honoring look like? What does honoring your parents involve? Well, when we looked there in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, what was the word that he used to the young people, to the children, that really helped them fulfill the obligation to honor their parents? Obey. Be obedient. Be obedient. You want to honor your parents? Be obedient to them. Listen to them and do as they're asking. That's what he's saying. And all the way through Paul's writing, this idea of the disobedience of children, disobedience of young people, is seen as a sign and a proof of a morally corrupt generation. So where he sees children being disobedient and rebellious, he says, sees that as a sign of ungodliness. So, for example, Romans chapter 1, verse 30 says that in this generation there are gossips and slanderers and haters of God, insolent and haughty, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, foolish, faithless, heartless, ruthless. He couples that idea of disobedience to parents in with all of those other things. He says, though they know not God's righteous decree, that those who practice such things, now listen to this, this is Paul, he says, deserve to die, he says. They do not only give them approval, but practice these things themselves. Because the truth is, all the Ten Commandments, in the original form, in their maximum penalty, carry the death penalty. Disobedience to parents, under the law of Moses, carry the death penalty. Did you hear that, kids? It's not just for children, you know that, because some of the older people here got parents too. It's interesting how seriously Paul deals with the subject of disobedience to parents. And he picks it up in Timothy as well, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents. It's got a lot of weight to it in the Bible. So we've said obedience is a really crucial factor in this. In Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, there's another restatement of this commandment, and the word that's used there is reverence, a kind of a degree of respect, a degree of giving your parents a measure of respect, which means at least hearing what they're saying and doing it. We'll talk about that a little bit later. It's something to do with really weighing up the value of these people in your life. Making a real estimation of how valuable these people are to you. And it's important for people to do. Now, if I can put it like this, here's the thing. So Moses is preaching this, right? He's preaching it to all these Israelites gathered. And they're about to cross into the promised land. What was this generation he's preaching to? What were their parents like? What was the generation that had preceded this generation who were entering the land like? What one word would you say characterized their general practice in life with reference to God? Grumbling, disobedient. Here's this whole generation of people that he's calling on to walk in obedience, knowing that all of them have been brought up by people in the main who have walked in disobedience. And the commandment to honor your parents. You can imagine at a time like this, well, given the way that they behaved in the past, given their shortcomings and their failings, given their sins and their transgressions, obviously that commandment no longer applies. You can imagine this would be the moment to make such a statement. Because they've been so disobedient. They are not deserving of honor. But on the contrary, on the absolute contrary, at that point where it would be so easy to say that, he says the opposite and says, this, in one sense, this commandment is more important now than it's ever been. Because it's easy to love the people we love. It's easy to love our friends. But going back to something we were saying this morning, it's not so easy to love the people who let us down or hurt us or discourage us and make our lives difficult. And to some extent, this generation had grown up under people who hadn't been perfect parents. They hadn't been perfect parents. And he's telling them, you need to honor them too. All right? Do you get the point? It's actually quite a sharp point, isn't it? It's a sharp point. Now, in Ephesians, he's told these young people to obey their parents. And that's the way they're going to honor them. But do you remember what he says after that? This is Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. What does he say after he's told children to be obedient to their parents? He says to them, fathers, don't provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. In short, don't make it hard for your children to honor and obey you. Don't put them in a situation where they have to honor and obey that which is hard, if not sometimes almost nigh on impossible to respect. Don't put your children in that position. Live for God. And when they then seek to honor you, it will be easy. Don't put stumbling blocks in your children's way. And this generation that Moses is speaking to have indeed provoked their children to anger. They've done these things. They've made it hard for the next generation to respect them because of their sins and their grumblings and their shortcomings. I don't think this has ever happened in the history of the world where one generation has grown up and looked back at the generation before and blamed them and said, oh, they're so stupid. They don't see. They don't understand. Look at all the things that they've done wrong, all the mistakes that they've made. We're the new generation. We're going to put things right. We're going to change the world. We're going to make the world a better place. We're going to undo all the wrongs of the past and set things to right. That never happens, does it? That a whole generation gets full of a sense of itself at the expense of the generation before. Those are the old days, the bad old days. We're going forward now in hope because it's us now. It's us now. The truth, there are so many dangers in that. There are so many dangers in that. Here's one danger. You have become very self-righteous. Haven't you? Young people who just think, they all got it wrong. They were rubbish. They're not to be regarded or respected. We know. We're going to work it all out. You've become very arrogant. You've become very self-righteous. You've got to be careful of that. That's not the spirit of God, is it? But also I want to put this to you, that you're making a bed for yourself that you'll have to lie in. Because if you're going to be critical of the generations that have gone before you, guess what? Over time, you actually might make some mistakes of your own. In fact, I could just say you absolutely guarantee you will. You know, we've all sinned. We all fall short of our, you know, nobody's perfect. And if you set a perfectionist standard and you judge the previous generation by that, the day will come when that same judgment is going to fall on you. Where you're not going to be the one who's, you know, could be more gracious about the past. You're going to be the one who you're going to hope that people are going to be a bit more gracious about you. So pass on the love. Start now. Start now. Because we all need some understanding. We all need some forgiveness. We all need some grace, don't we? We all make our mistakes. And the third thing, I think, is not just the self-righteousness, which is a trap, and the perfectionism, which will pull you down in the end. But it also is a distortion of the facts. Even the very, very worst of parents, the very worst of parents, have given you the very material stuff of life by which you are here in this world today. At the very, very least, you could not be here without them. And we must at least be able to say that one good thing. And in truth, the fact is, there's usually a whole lot more than that. I don't know, around this room, all your different experiences of your fathers and your mothers. And I'm sure they're mixed. And I'm sure some of the stories you could tell are wonderful stories. If you stop and you think about it long and hard enough, you'll have some good to say. Some of you, I'm sure, have had excellent parents. Some of you have had fair to middling or whatever. But we've all got something good to say about the people who brought us into this world. And the generation that Moses was preaching to, Well, they failed. They failed. But they did walk at least part of the journey through the desert, didn't they? They did get them so far. There are good things to be said, and it's important to make sure, as believers, we're the ones that say it. You know, if there's something good to be said, let's be the people who say it. Let's be the people who say it. Now, I think last time I preached in Exodus 20, I think I used this illustration. At 7, I thought they knew everything. At 14, I realized they knew nothing. At 21, I thought, they've learned a lot in the last 7 years. When we look back at our parents, we sort of, you know, have this view, and actually we realize they're actually quite a lot like us. Quite a lot like us, really. And if you can't love them, you're going to struggle to love yourself. And if you can't love yourself, you're going to struggle to love other people. It's really, really important to honor your mother and your father. It's about growing up, this, isn't it? It's about growing up. It's very, very easy to just remain a little complaining child. They did this. They let me down. They didn't do the right thing by me. I wouldn't be in this situation. There's a point in life where you have to accept, this is my life. This is the life that God has given me. I am here. He is God. And we're going to move forward now. And you start to live as a mature person. You can't spend your life blaming the past for the problems of your present. We have to take responsibility, don't we? And go forward. And go forward with our lives. The person who is preaching this message, is Moses. And only just before he preaches this message, he'd already preached a message to them in which he told them something. He told them something, didn't he? He told them that he had committed a disqualifying sin. Yes? Here's the father of the nation, as it were, telling them he had committed a disqualifying sin. Wouldn't it be so easy? Somebody who's done us so much good, people who've done us so much good, they do one thing wrong, and we can just write them out of our lives. It's easily done, isn't it? All the good that they have contributed to us, we could dismiss in a moment if we don't learn this lesson of honoring our mother and father and realizing that we have to be respectful about the past. Moses was also the person who wrote up the account of Noah's life. You remember what happened at the end of Noah's life? Ah, the great man of God. He built the ark and gathered the animals together, and they crossed this deluge. And then what happened? He sat down on a beach and got so drunk, so utterly, completely and utterly shamelessly drunk, that he had no sense of himself or shame whatsoever. Well, how did his three sons respond to that? Do you remember from the account in Genesis? One of them was ready to look what he's doing. Look at his sin. Look at his failings. Look at their shortcomings. And the other two said, I think we need to get a coat. Just kind of put a shield over this. Now, that isn't to say that they're ignoring the reality of the situation, but it's your attitude, isn't it? Are you showing a gracious and loving attitude, or are you allowing those offenses to govern and to rule the way you live your life? Which one of those was not dishonoring their mother and father? It was Ham, wasn't it? It was Ham who didn't honor his mother and father. It says in Exodus 21, verse 17, whoever curses his mother or father shall be put to death. It can ruin your life. It can ruin your life. The root of bitterness can just consume you. It can ruin your life. Okay, we need to say something important just before I finish this second point. Does this mean, this obedience thing, does it mean that if your parents tell you to do something wrong, you have to do it? Do you think that's what it means? Is this kind of obedience that's been asked for? What's being taught here? God forbid. Absolutely not. God is our first Father, isn't he? He is our first and he is our perfect Father, to whom be given full and perfect obedience in everything we can find. But we're saying, wherein those things are not contrary to the will of God, do them. Do them. Be obedient. It's important, isn't it? It will affect our lives. Fathers, don't provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It's important that the things you ask of your children, and you be discerning, even young people should be discerning to know when sometimes your parents are asking something of you that is wrong. If that's the truth, you've got to say respectfully, respectfully. Don't have to be disrespectful about it. Just respectfully say, I think that's wrong, or is that wrong? Ask the question, find out. Ask the questions. You can still be respectful and not be led into sin. So I think it's important just to say that, isn't it? So, okay, the second thing I've said is that Moses has preached the enduring commandment, but it's still important to honor this commandment even when the people who we're honoring are not perfect. That's really, really important, okay? Nobody is perfect. So lastly, how important is this commandment? How important is it? Jesus taught a man, we've got the record in Matthew 15, verse 4. And he said, God commanded, honor your father and your mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. See, Jesus treats it with great seriousness, doesn't he? But you say, if anybody tells his father or his mother, what you would have gained from me is given to God, he need not honor his father. So for the sake of your tradition, you've made void the word of God. What Jesus is putting his finger on there, obviously the obvious thing he's putting his finger on, he says, well, if I'm just giving my obedience to God, I've got an excuse for taking care of you. And he's putting that to bed, isn't he? The truth is that we sometimes struggle and find excuses not to keep this commandment. Like all the other commandments, there's something in our hearts. There's something in our hearts that doesn't want to obey our parents and honor our parents. That's true for all of us. And there were people in that generation, grown-ups, adults, who didn't really want to honor their parents for whatever reason. And there were clearly some people who didn't want them to honor their parents because they wanted to receive from them the things that were due to their parents. And Jesus is clearly teaching here the importance of honoring our mother and father and putting that in place in our lives. Now, I know some of you, perhaps your parents have passed away. But still, it's the way we speak about them, the attitudes, the way we even feel and think about them, the importance that if there are bitternesses and so on, to deal with those things, to bring them to the Lord, so that we can speak in such a way that is positive and honoring ultimately to God, because this is God's commandment. These people have found very pious ways to excuse themselves. And Jesus is clearly saying, no. So how important is this commandment? What do you think the very fact that of all the commandments so far are about honor to God, aren't they? All of them. This is the first one that's about honoring people. So would you think this means that it's an important commandment? It is. It's our first responsibility to other human beings, is to our immediate family, isn't it? To our parents. That's the first responsibility that we have. The first moment we get a chance to put into practice our whole relationship to God and work it out in the world is in our relationship to our nearest and dearest, to our family, to our parents. It's a very important commandment. And all the other commandments that follow after it proceed from this. In Malachi, the prophet speaks to the nation of Israel. He says, a son honors his father, a servant honors his master, and then he asks, the Lord asks a question to the people through the prophet. He says, if I am then a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear, says the Lord your God, O you priests who despise my name? What he's saying is, if you put this commandment down there and say, honoring my mother and father, and some people are very good to their parents, aren't they? Have you noticed some people are very good to their parents? But they're very disrespectful to God. That's what these people were like too. This commandment to honor our parents proceeds directly from our responsibility to honor God as our Father. Of having our relationship with God settled first empowers and helps us to deal correctly with our parents. And if you put the things the wrong way around, it all falls apart. So I don't know what your parents were like. I don't know whether you all had brilliant earthly fathers. But one thing is true, is that you have a perfect and loving heavenly Father. So we can't make the excuse that we haven't been loved, or that we haven't been taught, or that we haven't been helped in this world. And God has done it wonderfully. And in truth, that helps us even to work out our relationships with our own families. Jesus was accused, wasn't he, by people. They said he had a demon. But he answered them and said, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. When we dishonor people, when we dishonor parents, when we dishonor the authorities, when we dishonor our teachers, when we dishonor our employers, when we dishonor anyone, in short, aren't we in the end dishonoring God, who made us and gave these relationships to us? So this first commandment is the first commandment there is about people, our dealings with people, and it should be characterized by a relationship of honor and respect. Honor and respect and listening to one another, that was first and foremostly in these commandments owed only to God and then to our families, but only as it reflects on him first as our Father. So if we are really truly God's obedient children in family life, this is where the rubber hits the road. This is where the rubber hits the road and things start to be worked out in practice with your mum and with your dad and all those things that are involved. So I would say, on a human level, this is our number one priority, is to look after our family, and beginning with our parents and also our children. I'll be interested in any thoughts or reflections anybody you have about all this, because it's not always easy, is it, working it all out in practice. Jake's pulling an interesting expression. We'll talk to you about it later. There it is. We'll leave it there. And we're going to sing something to close, which is 760, When We Walk With The Lord. So three things. It's an enduring.